Andy.
Hi there, Andy Breckman. Are you enjoying this song? Sorry to take you.
Hey, what? Why don't we have a contest and see if any listener can suggest a good name for that song?
A good name for this song?
Yeah.
Well, the song already has a pretty good name. It's called The Andy Song.
Oh, that's pretty good.
Yeah.
It's kind of fitting, I guess.
You're not sounding so hot. You're
Hold on. Should I lean into the little microphone?
Yes. Yeah. Maybe lean into the little microphone. Where the hell are you?
Where the hell are you?
I'm at the radio station, WFMU.
I know, but where exactly?
I'm in the main studio.
I know, but exactly where in the studio?
I'm sitting where I usually sit.
Oh, I can just picture it.
You're at a McDonald's, I understand.
I'm in my little New York place. I have a little place in the city.
Oh, a pied-à-terre, huh?
Pied-à-terre, and yeah. I'm talking to you on my little laptop. It's not the best Skype situation,
yeah.
But we'll make do. It's good enough for FMU.
Yeah, thanks for being present. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. Did you say thanks for being pantsless?
Yeah.
We're all going pantsless this week.
Well, I know. Yeah, I know. It's time for the pants-free subway ride.
You know, when I hear a DJ on the radio, I can tell. Just if I listen for a couple of minutes, I can always tell whether they're wearing pants or not.
How do you do it?
It's just a feeling I get.
Huh.
I also have amazing gaydar. When I walk into a bar, a crowded bar.
Uh-huh.
I know within like 2 or 3 minutes which man I want to sleep with.
That's not exactly the same thing as gaydar.
It is.
Not really, no. Gaydar isn't knowing who you want to sleep with. It's being able to detect whether somebody is gay or not.
Yeah, I got it.
Yeah.
Well, we'll just have to agree to disagree on this.
What is in your mouth?
Double bubble gum. Thank you for asking.
Can you get rid of that?
Because I'm sure I could. It would be so easy to. I'm not an idiot.
Yeah. Well, the program is Dinner at Andy's. Ken here in the studio. Andy at his little apartment in New York City.
Why did you send everybody home? Do you want to explain it?
Yeah, we went down into lockdown because we had a second COVID outbreak last week. And
didn't I call it like 6 months ago?
I said
this virus is very contagious.
Did you say that?
Well, I said it to myself.
I mean, because that was well known. It was well known that Delta and Omicron were very contagious.
I said they're very tricky viruses. And now I've been proven correct. So you sent everybody home. So who's in the station? Just you and Matt?
Me, Matt, Olivia, Joe, Surface Noise Magasco, Ruth, the skeleton crew.
But I've been all vaccinated up and I'm double boosted even.
It doesn't matter. Everybody, we've had 8 COVID cases in the last 3 weeks, and every single one of those people was double vaxxed and boosted.
I'm not going to get COVID. When I see COVID zig, you know what I do, Ken?
Do you zag?
I zag.
Oh, man.
I ain't getting it.
Shoot.
I can't outsmart that little virus.
I should have zagged.
You should have zagged, buddy. You should have taught your whole staff how to zag.
I just duck, and it hasn't gotten me yet.
But you haven't got it? Well, maybe you've had it, and you just haven't had any symptoms.
You always say that. Why do you think that?
Well, because I know about a year and a half ago, you lost your taste in music. Is that one of the symptoms?
That is one of the symptoms, yeah.
Because I did listen to your show about a year and a half ago, and I got very worried about you.
Maybe you're right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I did go through a period there where I just couldn't hear melodies at all.
Some people lose their taste. Other people lose their good taste.
Well, it did come back.
No.
My taste in music came back.
Yeah. It's nice you think that. I guess that's what your staff tells you.
That is what they tell me. Are they not being straight with me?
Kenny. It's hard to hear them distinctly. They're so far up your butt. Kenny.
Hey, good news about Prophet of Doom 88, right?
Just remind me what we're talking about now.
Prophet of Doom 88 is the D-Train shooter yesterday.
Oh, yeah, they caught him, huh?
Well, they didn't really catch him. He turned himself in.
You heard it here. Breaking news.
He called up and said, I think you're looking for me. I'm hanging out by this McDonald's. Kind of brilliant.
Yeah.
Because he's now entitled to his $50,000 reward.
It is. Actually, he was near a Wendy's. He was playing them. He was trying to... But it didn't work.
Well, they went to the McDonald's where they said he was, and he had left already. He was half a block away.
Well, I'm glad he's off the streets. That I believe he was the last crazy person in New York, so I'm glad he's off the street. New York is now safe again.
Yeah, thank goodness they got him.
Yeah, he's going to do his 6 months. You know, you shoot somebody in New York, you're going to jail, buddy. You're going to jail for 6 months.
Well, he shot like 11 people.
Yeah, we'll see him sometime in late November.
No, I said he shot 11 people.
Yeah.
Late November, that would be if he shot one person.
Yeah, so it'll be a couple of years.
Yeah.
What are we doing today, Ken? What did we do last week?
I don't remember. What did we do last week? The Shakespeare Concordance? No.
There it is. Yeah, that's what we did.
No.
Hey, why don't we have a contest? What did we do last week?
I can look it up. You know, it's not like I can't find the information of what we did last week. Oh yes, yep. Last week you were rating people's dogs, and Michael, your intern, was slapping us.
Oh, another classic.
That's what we did last week.
What a nice kid he was.
Yeah.
To come all the way down just to slap us around.
Yeah. Well, I think some people would have paid for that privilege.
Hey, you know what? After we talked on the phone yesterday, Bethy had a great idea. We could have done it today. You and I could have done a show outside. It's a beautiful day.
Yes. Yes, you're right. We should have done
the show. We didn't think of it.
Right. Well, maybe next week, if it's nice, we can do the show outside.
I actually had an idea that we could stand in front of the station, and as people walk past, you can just kind of mumble to them, what do you need? Just ask them what they need.
Well, they're going to just keep walking.
What are you looking for? Well, some people will. some people will stop.
Maybe one out of 50.
Some people will stop and ask us if we can supply them with X or Y or Z. What, this or that?
If you walked by some old Jew on the street who said, what do you need? You wouldn't stop.
I would say, this is what I've been waiting for. This is the opportunity of a lifetime.
I don't think so. But if you really want to pretend you're a drug dealer, there's other things you could do. You could get some legal drugs and sell them out front. You could get some Delta 8 edibles or some crate.
Hey, why don't we stand out front next week and sell Excedrin? Excedrin, little Excedrin pills for a buck each.
Okay.
Hey, you looking for Excedrin? Got some Excedrin. Could hook you up with some Excedrin.
I'm up for that.
It's three quarters aspirin, one quarter caffeine.
Can I bring
some? You've never had anything like this, brother.
Can I also sell some Motrin?
I don't think so. Hey, you want to? Maybe the first one's free. And then if we see a cop, we just beat it.
Sounds good.
That'll be our show next week.
Yeah. Oh, next week could be our Passover show also.
Oh, yeah.
We could hide matzah. We haven't done that in years.
Hide the Afikoman somewhere in the tri-state area.
Yeah, hide the Afikoman somewhere. Yeah. It's been a long time.
Yeah.
Passover.
We could hide some up your butt so the staff has a chance to find it.
That's too easy. You might as well just give it to them. Say, here's the Afikoman. Can you find it? I mean, come on. I love Passover. It's my favorite Jewish holiday.
Now, what are you doing for Passover?
Eating chocolate macaroons. What are you doing?
Well, Bethy went into some sort of insane sort of trance. She invited everyone.
Yeah.
We're having a whole bunch of people.
Okay. I don't think I was invited, but that's okay. I'm having
I might have misspoke. She invited almost everyone.
Okay.
You don't want to come, believe me.
No, I don't, because it would interrupt my chocolate macaroon eating time.
Yeah. What would you do? It would be my grandkids just screaming in your ear for 3 hours. What the hell would you want with that?
I would feed them macaroons and they'd shut up plenty quick, believe me.
I would give a limb. I would give my left arm to be with you eating macaroons. Instead of going through the 40-page Haftorah, whatever it is, Haggadah.
Haggadah, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, why is this night different from all other nights?
Yeah.
So that's next week. But we do have a show tonight. And I believe...
Oh, you know what? My wife... My wife just texted me.
Yeah.
See if you can guess what she just said.
She said, please invite Ken and Hank.
That's exactly right. So now you're...
No, I don't want a guilt. I don't want a guilt invitation.
You don't want a pity invite.
Yeah, that's a pity.
You don't want a last minute pity invite.
Right. Yeah, it's not the same when you say, hey, how come I wasn't invited? And like, oh, please come. It's just not the same thing at all.
If it wasn't for last-minute pity invites, I'd never leave the house.
Hi, you're on the air.
Hey, I just want to see if Ken and Hank want to come to Passover.
Honey, they clearly have other plans. They have a whole chocolate macaroon tradition.
No, we have a case full of chocolate macaroons. Some of them
Bring them. Bring everybody.
Well, some of them are straight-ahead chocolate macaroons, but Beth, some of them are chocolate-covered chocolate macaroons.
Well, Andy loves coconut. That's his favorite thing in the whole world.
Yeah.
Like Almond Joy, and that's the one with nuts. Mounds.
Mounds.
He likes Mounds also.
Yeah, so, well, he might
a
like
treat for him.
Andy might like Zagnut also. Zagnut.
Honey, I'm glad you called. I have a little update, a little change of plans. I'm going to be up at the lake house eating macaroons with Ken.
Who's going to hide the Afikoman for the grandkids?
Yeah, I'll leave a note. I'll leave a little map.
Come on. Andy, where are you going to hide the Afikoman for your grandkids? Because you can't make it too hard, you know?
He does a scavenger hunt. He puts clues all over.
Wow.
It's really cute. He's a really good grandpa.
Aw.
I make little maps and clues.
Well, that's what we should do next week. We should set up a listener-wide Afikoman hunt.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Like National Treasure. A big treasure hunt. Thanks for calling, honey.
Thanks, Beth.
Oh, sure. Well, no, Ken, you and Hank are definitely, definitely invited. Please come.
Okay, thanks.
Okay,
it's
bye.
It's not a pity invite at all.
We would love to have you.
Yeah.
Saturday evening.
So tonight we were going to...
As a favor to you, as a birthday gift.
Yeah.
I did not invite you.
Well, my birthday was a while ago.
You're welcome.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you.
You're welcome.
We did have a topic for tonight. We wanted to ask people what they have learned from WFMU. What have you learned from WFMU, Andy?
I learned Let me see. Well, I learned who killed John and Robert Kennedy.
You did?
Yeah.
How?
Because I remember there was one show, one of your shows, you played Sympathy for the Devil, and Mick Jagger includes the solution to that mystery in his lyrics.
Oh, he said, you know perfectly well it was you and I, you and me.
And I shouted out, the first time I heard that, I was like a kid, I was 12 or 13, and Mick Jagger sang, I shouted out, who killed the Kennedys? And I sat up, I bolted upright, I was so excited.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm going to hear who killed the Kennedys.
Uh-huh.
Finally, the secret is revealed. What is it, Mick? Who did it? And then he said, after all, it was you and me. That was his solution.
But sure.
He tried to frame me. That bastard tried to frame me for murdering the president.
But surely you didn't hear that song for the first time on WFMU.
No.
No. So you can't pin that one on FMU. It's not a good example, Andy. We're looking for real things that people have learned from WFMU.
You mean something that disc jockeys might have imparted between songs?
Right. Not fake things, but real facts.
Real facts.
Yeah.
And I can't think of a single thing. I've been listening to you for years and years. I have to say nothing. Zero. Goose egg. I've drawn a complete blank.
Yeah, really? And like, you haven't learned anything from me?
What might I have learned from you?
I know some things I learned from you.
You mean about the eye patch, about the pirates?
About pirates, about Poco. Timothy Schmidt was the short member of the group. I learned that from you. You introduced me to the Bob Dylan song, She's Your Lover Now.
Bob Dylan.
Great song.
And Brownsville Girl, remember?
Yeah. Hey, Andy, we have a call. Hi, you're on the air. What have you learned from WFMU?
Well, you just mentioned Bob Dylan.
Yeah.
One thing I learned from WFMU is that Donald Trump's favorite Bob Dylan song is Hey, Mr. Tangerine Man. I also learned that Donald Trump's favorite...
Nothing like that good old Donald Trump humor. Nothing beats
you,
it.
You and I don't have to be funny at all, Ken. Just open up the phone lines.
Hi, you're on the air.
Hi,
the pressure's off of us.
I learned that Visions of Johanna was originally called Freeze Out.
Oh, yeah. Is this Michael in Boston?
Yeah. And I also learned years back that the students who, at least the first ones who were massacred in Tiananmen Square, were singing the Internationale, and that it's a Confucian tradition that if you're going to be martyred for a good cause, you sing to show that, you know, you do it with a light heart.
Wow, and they chose to sing the Internationale. That's pretty good.
Yeah, you said this. You were describing a movie about the Internationale.
Oh, I did, yeah. I interviewed the director of the Internationale documentary. Wow, the phone, the switchboard is ringing off the hook here. Thank you, Michael from Boston.
Sure.
Andy, you really picked a great topic tonight.
Wait, I'm here. So wait, do we have any calls?
No, none. Nobody's calling. Oh, here's one. Hi, you're on the air.
Hey, I definitely learned a lot about different types of music, but also I learned from your show, from an archive, how a writer can workshop an idea and kind of shop it around to different studios. And I included that in an artwork that actually went somewhere and got published. And I kind of set it up as like a call-in thing. There's a phone number associated with the artwork. And it's actually getting published in a journal. And so I'll actually get more traffic potentially on that phone number. But it was all inspired pretty much by this show and the whole archives of this show, actually. So I learned that from you.
Wow, Andy, he learned that from you, I think.
I think I have an arbitration coming to me. I think I have a little royalty due.
Sounds like it.
Well, as soon as I make any money off of it, I'll be sure to send it right your way, Andy.
Yeah, I'll wait for that.
Yeah, don't hold your breath too long, though.
No, I know.
Yeah, but the music knowledge has been really good. I've definitely learned a lot about music that I never thought I'd ever listen to. So, great.
What percentage of our calls include the phrase, as soon as I earn any money?
13.
The answer is 45.
No, it's 13%. Oh, no, you're right. It is 45%. We're asking you what you have learned from WFMU, and the phone number here is 201-209-9368.
Ken, you know, I haven't even learned the phone number.
Now, you told me in all seriousness a couple of weeks ago or a month ago, you said, I can't learn anything new.
I can't.
And you were serious.
My brain is filled with the James Bond storyline.
Because I tried to show you how to put calls on the air. And you just couldn't do it.
I can. Yeah. But I have no reason to learn anything new. I'm fine. I'm doing fine.
Okay. Hi, you're on the air. What have you learned from...
I know how to find my house. I can get home. That's all you need.
Yeah. Even if you took the lines, even if you erased the lines on the street, you think you could still find your house?
No, I've got the GPS now. I'm going to be fine, Ken. Don't worry about me. You just take your little phone call.
Okay. Hi, you're on the air. What have you learned from WFMU?
Hey, guys. I think just generically,
watch the language there. Okay. So give me an example of something you learned.
Well, when I listened to the hip hop show on Friday night.
Oh, Put the Needle on the Record. Yep.
Yeah, that kid is like so sharp. But like, I came back from Europe and I was trying to get into hip hop, and he's like he knows everything about the West Coast and about hip hop.
Yeah, Billy Jam. Example. Billy Jam's the man.
What's that?
Billy Jam is the man.
Billy Jam, right? And then if you want to talk about other genres, people are very, very, very informed, you know. Every single show I can find a piece of music that I never heard before and knocks me out, you know what I mean? And that's it. That's all. Just a comment. You guys are really worth it.
Cool. Thank you.
Worth all the money I spend on you.
Thank you.
Okay.
Andy's our resident expert on California soft rock. Andy taught me that Linda Ronstadt played a critical role in forming the Eagles. Thank you
I was the one that, I believe I was the first one that told you Linda Ronstadt was hot.
That's true? You told me something that? I can't see hot. That's why I rely on people like you to tell me who's hot and who's not.
She was a cutie.
Hi, you're on the air. What have you learned from WFMU?
Hello.
Hi.
I learned that you have a phrenologist.
A smoking hot phrenologist.
Best ever. I love that so much. And I learned that there are special preparations in case, God forbid, Bob Dylan ever passes.
Oh, you mean if he passes again?
Yes.
I guess you didn't hear the news.
Right. Oh, no, I didn't hear the news.
No. Oh, well. Oh.
I do. Ken, there is something I learned from you.
What?
I learned that in a national or state emergency, disc jockeys are allowed to roam the streets. Disc jockeys are immune to any lockdown orders.
Oh, yes, that's true.
Because we perform a public service.
Right. That's absolutely true. I have the get out of jail free card for all my DJs.
Very good. I just got through writing my niece in Hawaii about you guys, like the station. She's like, what kind of music are you into? And I'm like, look, I don't know anything about music, but I just started describing the WFMU experience. And it's like, the DJs are just like the experts in whatever stuff that they're into. And I was like, it can be from like, you know, the Codger show, and it's explaining that to like music of mind control. To Stashy's polka show, to the morning drive show, And it's just I'm listening to experts, like editorial experts in whatever the range you're in.
And what did your what was your niece's reaction?
I haven't gotten it back yet.
Yeah, she's probably confused.
You have your niece call me. No. Don't have her call me this week because my wife will invite her to a Passover. Have your niece call me next week.
No, have her call this week. Maybe if she goes to Passover, then I'll be off the hook.
Okay. Well, much love, gentlemen.
All right. Thank you. What else have you learned?
Boy, people love this little station of yours.
Yeah, they do.
And it's true. You know, even if you hear something on FMU that you don't like, you just wait 10 minutes and you'll hear something that's even worse.
It's true. It's amazing. It works every time.
Yeah.
Hi, you're on the air. What have you learned from WFMU?
I learned what Lush on Horror was.
What Lush on what?
Lush on Horror. Now, I think I learned it not from Nockham's program.
Oh yeah, that's the end. That's the end of the piece of Kala. It's the final piece, right, Andy? It's
sure.
It's the edge, the final edge of the challah roll.
Sure.
Okay. Hi, you're on the air.
Yeah, I wonder why Nockham's program isn't on anymore.
Well, you know he had a fire, right? Is that what you're referring to?
You mean Jewish Lightning hit his garment store?
No, Nockham's studio burned down. Are you making light of it?
Wait, when did this happen?
This happened like 2-3 weeks ago.
Is this true?
It's true. There was an electrical fire and his whole studio burned down. But nobody was hurt.
Oh, baby. Oh, yeah. Well, send him my love.
I will.
And tell him congratulations on that massive insurance payout.
I will. I'll tell him. You'll be happy.
He's always one step ahead.
You'll be happy to know that he did save the autographed photograph of James Taylor that was in his studio.
That's what he grabbed, and that's what he grabbed first.
There were about 3 or 4 things he grabbed, and that was one of them.
Ken, if your radio station was on fire, what would you grab first?
The black velvet painting of Iggy Pop. He's so damn hot.
Huh.
This was before he became a lizard.
Huh.
What would you grab?
I'd probably grab the big fire extinguisher in the hallway.
That doesn't work. Sucker. You should run up to the free t-shirt room.
Yeah, I would run to the t-shirt room and grab 2 or 3 last t-shirts.
Phone number here is 201-209-9368. For our own FCC documentation, we want to know what you have learned from WFMU.
Yeah, the FCC has insisted, you know, we are technically a public service station. We have tax-free status.
Right, it's called non-commercial educational. That's the FCC's term of art.
So we have to prove that we are disseminating some legitimate information.
Yeah,
we're doing the public some real good.
Yeah, from time to time, some bureaucrat tunes in and hears all the hippie noise and concludes that we're not really educational. So we really need to document how we are educational.
So we'll play him this episode of 7 Second Delay.
Hi, you're on the air. What have you learned?
So I've been listening to you guys since high school, and I've learned everything.
Give me a concrete example.
Let's see: rock and roll, experimental music, art, comedy. You guys were an inspiration. We opened an art gallery. Yeah. Life.
Can you give me something specific?
Opening an art gallery—that's not good enough for you, Ken.
What you learned how to open an art gallery from WFMU?
No, but
he was inspired, Ken.
You know, your station inspired us to go that way.
All right,
do that.
Cool. That's good enough for me.
Yeah. Because the alternative would have been getting a real job. And he learned everything he needs to know about that from FMU.
Yeah. Says the owner of a masturbatorium.
Yep.
All right. Thanks, caller.
You're welcome.
Oh my God, I got through.
You got through. What have you learned from WFMU?
I was sick of Bob Dylan. I mean, I did learn, you know, from you, Ken, that Bob Dylan passed and then miraculously was risen
right
again.
And when he dies again, you'll hear about it here first.
Cool. You're my Bob Dylan go-to source.
Yeah, there's been a whole bunch of Bob Dylan news lately. I'm trying to think.
We're the one, I believe we broke the news to Bob Dylan that he wasn't dead.
No, we did. We absolutely did that.
Yeah, he couldn't have been more surprised.
He just settled with somebody who was suing him for his composer royalties that he sold for millions upon millions
of
dollars.
Yeah, somebody had co-owned the rights to some of the songs.
Right. Yeah. Somebody claimed to have co-written a few songs.
Yeah.
So they sued him for $30 million.
So not everything you learn on this show is of any interest at all to anyone.
That's true. Well, thank you, caller. Andy, the switchboard is ringing off the hook.
All it takes is for me not to show up. You give the people what they want.
If people want to drop by, where are you located right now? You're in Manhattan, downtown, somewhere not far from Washington Square Park, I understand.
Yeah, I'll meet him in Washington Square Park.
What's the vibe at Washington Square Park lately?
Oh, man, it's a happening, man.
Is it?
It's just wall-to-wall NYU kids.
Are the drugs back?
Well, I was walking around saying, what do you need? You know, had a pocket full of Excedrin.
Yeah.
I made $12.
A dollar a tab?
Dollar a tab.
Well, you took in $12 of gross revenue, but how much did you pay for those 12 tabs of Excedrin?
I netted $5.
Well, next week we're going to try to do even better. I say next week we diversify and we offer people Excedrin, Motrin, Aleve, Kratom.
I just want to stand in the doorway saying, what do you need? What are you looking for?
People will, they'll just run away from you if you say that.
I can run after him.
You could just say, you want some Excedrin? Got a
I'll
headache?
I'll just run after him shaking my Excedrin bottle.
I heard that there's all these legal weed dealers now all over the place in Manhattan, and nobody's doing anything to crack down on them. Does that seem to be the case?
You mean they're selling legal weed?
Well, no, it's still, I mean, even though it's supposed to be illegal, legal dispensaries have not yet been established. But I've heard that there's just so many of them now that, you know, and nobody's doing anything to crack down on them. True?
I don't know. Sure, I'll say true. Whatever makes you happy, son.
Okay. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi.
Whatever you want to hear.
Hi, who's this?
This is Brenda.
Hi, Brenda.
Hi.
Andy's very happy that you called.
Aw, I'm very happy that he's happy.
Yeah, we'll see you at Passover, Brenda.
Brenda, would you like to visit the Breckmans for Passover?
Only if they have edible chocolate macaroons, yeah.
Oh, they got the edible kind.
Ken, you never said edible. You never used the word edible.
Okay, how about macaroons?
Yeah, macaroons. We have those.
Awesome.
So, Brenda, what have you learned from WFMU?
What I have learned is that on Friday, working during lockdown from home, I listened to Bryce, which I never had the chance to, and I learned so much about Indian classical music. It's awesome.
Oh, we're sorry.
No, Andy, I think she's saying that as a good thing.
It is a good thing. I want to put it on the record.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought, okay.
No, she's happy she learned about Indian classical music.
Oh, I thought she was going to say, I learned about Indian classical music, and for that, I will never forgive you.
No, I think she appreciated learning about it.
Oh, okay. Well, it takes all kinds to make a world.
That's right, and I'll be there for macaroons, you bet.
All right. Thanks, Brenda.
Okay,
hey, Ken.
Bye.
Ken,
yeah.
Next week on Montgomery Street,
yeah.
Let's sell people macaroons.
Okay.
individually wrapped macaroons.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of people who are not Jewish, you know, they think that all Jewish holiday food is the worst. Because, I mean, my God, look at matzah. It's the worst thing on earth. But they don't know about macaroons.
We were fleeing Egypt. Ken, if you want to know the whole story about matzah, come to our Seder.
Well, look, I know there's perfectly good reasons why it's so dreadful, but it's dreadful. It's the worst food on earth.
Macaroon. All I want to do is stand in a doorway next week and just say macaroon to people.
Well, macaroons are the finest food on earth.
Just macaroon? Hey, macaroon.
All right, I'll go get some individually wrapped macaroons next week.
Hey, brother, macaroon? I got what you're looking for.
You're on the air. Macaroon?
Oh, hi. It's Sam the Appraiser.
Hey, Sam.
I'm sorry to tell you this, but I don't think coconut is kosher.
It's not? Is coconut...
How could it be? It doesn't grow in the Middle East. It has to be brought by swallows from Africa.
How would they have made coconut macaroons for Passover if they're not kosher?
I think no one ever thought of it. Because isn't it technically in the shellfish family?
Coconut?
Anyway, but what I did learn from WFMU...
Wait, coconut is technically a shellfish?
It's in a shell, and it's kind of like fishy consistency.
It does have that oil in it. It's oily like fish.
And it's very high in fat.
Is coconut technically a shellfish? Now we're getting to the stuff I was hoping to get into. Is coconut technically a shellfish? It's ironic we're doing the show about what we've taught you, but here we are with Sam the Appraiser learning all about coconut macaroons. Apparently,
it's a
two-way street, Kenny.
Shellfish on the nature show on WFMU they used to have. They would talk about what things were fish and what weren't.
We had a nature show?
Oh, it was, I thought you remember. Ken doesn't even remember.
No, I don't. I do remember the annual kosher show that Nachum used to do on JM and the AM. That was my favorite show of the year, where people would just be calling in asking if this item was kosher or that item was kosher. And it wasn't just food. They were asking about, like, you know, breath mints and toothpicks and body
rental
spray.
Cars.
Yeah, rental cars, everything.
We should call Nachum right now and ask about coconut macaroons.
Okay. Shall we?
Yeah.
All right. Let me call him. Thank you, Sam the Appraiser.
You're welcome.
All right. Let's call Nachum Siegel here, who used to
I'm sure he's with his insurance agent and his lawyer.
Let's find him here.
I think there's a 7 in the number.
Yeah. I don't know if you're right.
I don't remember the whole number. I'm pretty sure there's a 7.
Wow, look at that.
Yeah.
You're right.
I'm not an idiot.
There was a 7.
Of course.
Oh, come on.
It's Nachum, right?
Yeah.
It's something, 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 7.
No.
Something, something, something.
You want to hear your 7?
Yeah.
There's your 7.
There it is.
Oh, but look at this. There's a whole bunch more 7s.
If I remember correctly, there are multiple 7s.
Yeah.
The number you have called is not in service.
Oh!
There you go. He's a good friend of yours, huh, Ken?
Yeah.
Wait, I have a number for him. Hold on.
I got a number. I got plenty of numbers. This one has no 7s.
I talked to him just last week about different kinds of accelerants.
Why were you talking to him about accelerants? You mean like...
Oh, I can't go into that.
Like bombs? You mean like making bombs?
Well, just how to start a fire.
Hello,
Nachum. You're on the air on Dinner at Andy's.
Hi, Nachum. It's Andy Breckman.
How are you, sir?
I'm doing fine. Ken told me you had some bad luck this month. I'm very sorry.
I appreciate that very much. It's been a painful time, but we're trying our hardest to rebound. We've had a lot of really tremendous heartwarming reaction from
world. This call isn't one of those.
What is it?
This call, I don't think this call is going to make you feel a lot better. But I did want to hear your voice.
When I know that Andy Breckman's on the other end of the phone, I know it's going to be an uplifting experience.
Well, we're having a little discussion here between Ken and myself and a couple of our callers. Ken was talking about how much he loves macaroons during Passover.
I just was thinking about this today, yeah.
And I mentioned, or I guess actually my wife Beth was on the phone, I mentioned that I love coconut macaroons.
Right.
And then a caller just called.
Right.
And said, I don't think those are would be kosher.
Coconut macaroons are the original kosher macaroon.
Exactly. Like
exactly.
It comes way before Ken's favorite, which is chocolate, and I feel so guilty I didn't get him any matzo or chocolate macaroons for this year.
No, that's okay. I got my own. I got my own guy for the chocolate macaroons.
Oh, I'm glad to hear that. Ken, after all, it's much more.
Ken's got his own connection.
He said sarcastically. Yeah, the coconut macaroon, as far as I know, and I at one time was very close with the Manischewitz family that makes a whole bunch of macaroons. As far as I know, that was the original one, and it was like that for years.
Yeah.
And then all of us, I think we discussed this once before, and then all of a sudden, now you've got chocolate macaroons, and you've got hazelnut macaroons, and you have these birthday cake macaroons. Like, they have every flavor you can imagine. I think, like, you probably find 20 or 30 flavors in some major kosher supermarkets.
And the Manischewitz factory used to be about 3 blocks away from here.
That's right.
And what about regular coconuts? Are regular coconuts automatically kosher?
Yeah, a coconut like that grows on a coconut tree?
Yeah.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, no problem.
I mean, most... How do you
explain this? It's part of the shellfish family.
It's not part of the shellfish family, Andy.
I believe it is. I believe coconuts are technically a shellfish.
Shellfish come from the ocean, and coconuts come from coconut trees.
Well, you want to take it up with Sam the Appraiser, I think.
I will.
This is a perfect example of how we illuminate these issues.
Nakam, are you doing your annual What is Kosher show?
We did it yesterday.
Oh, we did it yesterday!
Morning, and it's unbelievable.
I missed it.
I was thinking of you, by the way, and with some of the questions. By the way, what's really funny is, 40 years later, it's funny what questions you get now. Like, now they need to know about flavored vaping. We never had that one back in the 90s,
Right. Wow.
Nachum, it's so great to hear your voice, and I wanted to say happy Passover to you.
Thank you very much. Happy Passover to everybody. And
How many will be around your table?
One thing I learned from this experience, and I'm being serious, for whatever reason, this electrical fire began in my studio at 1 o'clock on a Sunday, and if God forbid, it would have started at a time when there were people in the studio. As my wife says, you never would have left. You would have tried to have saved everything and tried to have put out the fire. We never would have seen you again. So thank God we're sitting down to the Seder this Friday night. And if you have your life, your health, and your family, I know this might be a little too serious for you, Andy, but if you have your life, your health, and your family, be very thankful.
That's crazy talk.
I think Nakam's drunk. But good luck rebuilding your studio, Nakam.
Thanks, and thanks for all your help, Ken. I keep seeing more and more old FMU names on the list of donors. So thanks a million to everybody.
Oh, great. All right. Thank you. Good luck, Nakam. Have a good Passover.
Thanks a lot.
Bye-bye.
Ken, why don't you remind people how they can help Nakam rebuild?
I know that he does have a GoFundMe to raise money to rebuild his studios, which really did burn down around 3 weeks ago. But I don't know. I don't have the link. But if you look for Nakam Siegel Studio, I'm sure you'll find it.
Kind of convenient that it happened after hours when no one was in the studio, don't
you
think?
1 p.m., not exactly after hours.
Yeah.
Hello?
I have a few questions. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, well, where were you Sunday at 1 p.m.?
I was 150 miles away.
Where exactly?
I was burning down a different studio in Parsippany.
Oh, you were on that one.
Yeah. Okay. I was on a different job.
All right. Well, you're off the hook for Nakam.
Yeah.
For Nakam's arson. Hi, you're on the air. What have you learned?
Why, hello. I can't believe I got through.
I can't believe it either.
Yeah, it's amazing. I just, two things. One, that the Amberella tree is one of the oldest flowering plants on the face of the planet currently living, called a living fossil. I think I learned that from The Blind Tourist.
Cool. Oh, lots to learn from The Blind Tourist.
Yeah, there are lots of fun facts there. And the second thing, most recently, the zoetrope that was being given away as part of the premium package during the most recent pledge drive is actually a phenakistoscope. I think that was mentioned on Sheila B's show.
Yes, it is a phenakistoscope.
Yes.
You need a tachometer to see it, to see the animation.
That's right. So, well, there you go. I wanted to help you out for the FCC. Hope that satisfies your requirement for another year.
Absolutely does. Thank you very much, sir. Did you know that about the zoetropes and phenatistoscopes?
You might, Andy? You might as well ask me, Andy, what were you thinking about during that last phone call?
Oh, Andy, what were you thinking about during that last phone call?
Just how I have to get, I should be calling the parking garage to get my car.
Wait, the parking garage, you left your car and you left it here in Jersey City.
Yeah, I have to, I'm going to give them a little heads up so that it's ready for me.
Which parking garage is it?
It's the one around the corner from you, the one you'll be using soon.
Oh, that's the one I'm already using.
Hey, I'll meet you there, brother.
The lazy parking next to Dunkin' Donuts?
Yes.
I'll see you there.
I'll see you there. Not if I see you first.
I have a monthly spot there now.
Oh, my God.
Do you have a monthly spot?
Listen to you strutting around, bragging about your monthly spot.
All right, you're on the air. What have you learned?
What haven't I learned? No, WFMU is an amazing asset, obviously, to everyone around the world. But I think specifically, I've learned a lot about myself because I was able to, as some of the other callers have mentioned, outsource the music expertise to other people. So you didn't have to spend that time crate digging or trying to define new artists or through all the projects WFMU has done over the years, the blogs, the archives, the free music archive, and really just the amazing, I guess, deep knowledge of music, audio in general, because it's not just music.
And don't forget about Andy Breckman's encyclopedic knowledge of Southern California soft rock.
Right. That by far is probably one of the most important things that I've learned, is to really appreciate that genre of music.
Did you know that Jackson Browne wrote the song These Days? Andy knew that.
That was Jackson Browne?
That was Jackson Browne, yes.
Did you know that Linda Ronstadt was cute as a button?
No.
There you go. These are the types of things that Andy Breckman knows.
And that's, you know, and that Andy, I mean, by far is one of the largest contributors to that type of knowledge at WFMU.
Yes, he is.
I know 11 things.
And we appreciate all 11 of them, Andy. We're waiting for the one more to get to the dozen.
Well, I've been pacing
you will
myself.
Get there.
I've been flipping over the cards, one every few months.
Andy,
we appreciate it, Andy.
How's your illustrated history to California soft rock coming along?
Hey, that would be a great premium, wouldn't it?
Yeah. You draw well enough.
Yeah, we like your drawings, Andy. You used to draw for some of your albums and stuff.
It'll be 14 pages of my Linda Ronstadt.
We should do another graphic novel.
Oh, yeah, let's do that, Ken. Write that down. Ken, make a note of that because we're going to forget. Write it down.
I was going to say, we learned all those stories about what bears can do to you from the last one.
Exactly.
If you turn your back on a bear.
Don't. And apparently Ken. Bears don't like Ken.
Yeah, I learned it a little bit too late. If you see a bear, don't turn around. Continue facing it and walk backwards and try to make yourself as big as you can.
Yeah. Because it's more fun to be raped from the front.
That's not, they can't really do it from the front, Andy. That's the whole thing.
I'll bet you a dollar they could.
It's not worth a dollar to find out.
Okay.
Thank you, caller. Hi, you're on the air. What have you learned?
It's not. It's not worth a dollar to find out.
I bet I am the only caller Andy can identify without your help, Ken. Maybe me and Nadia.
Andy, can you identify this caller?
Let me hear the voice again.
My God. Caller, can you talk
again?
Hey,
it's me.
He's a regular caller.
I don't think so.
I think so. He or she is a regular caller.
It's a he or she.
Yeah.
Well, welcome back.
Andy, would you like me to say who it is? You don't care.
No, I
remember Andy saying something about figuring out what side the gas tank on your car is by an arrow on your dashboard.
Yes, that's right. I learned that from Andy, too. You know,
oh, that's right.
Yeah.
Wait, we did do it. We did a whole damn show on that.
Yeah, this is Aaron from Minneapolis, by the way.
I know Aaron.
And then Aaron also, the most interesting fact you learned on that show, and that's actually one that stuck with me, is why they no longer have gas tanks in the back of a car. They used to have, some cars used to, you could fill them from the rear of the car.
Oh, yeah, I remember that. Well, how come they don't have them in the back anymore?
It caused, because it was susceptible to exploding.
Oh, yeah, the exploding Pintos. Right, the exploding Pintos probably put an end to that.
I just have to say, and this sounds bad, but I can't wait until Dylan actually dies, because I remember when you guys did that Dylan Death Show 2.0. I made a great Pat Boone joke, and I can't wait until that airs again.
It's coming. It's coming.
Yeah, we had to update. Dylan is hard to kill off. We had to update our Dylan memorial show.
It's not going to be much longer now, Aaron. Be patient. All right.
I wonder who's going to go first, Ken. You, me, or Dylan?
I think Dylan.
If Dylan outlives me, I will be so mad.
Well, you'll be dead. I mean, you won't, you won't really have time to be mad.
My last words on this planet will be, any word on Dylan? Any updates?
I guess the thing I wonder about is who's going to go first, Bob Dylan or Neil Young? Now, there's a contest.
Well, Dylan is in his 80s. Is Neil Young a little younger?
I don't know. He's got to also be in his 80s. He's just got to be. Dylan had Dylan did have some problems. Neil Young had an aneurysm. Hi, you're on the air. What have you learned?
Hello?
Hi, you're on the air.
Oh, my God. Hey, this is Ted. I am a math professor.
Hey, Ted.
I can tell you about some stuff that I have taught from WFMU.
Great. Go ahead, Ted.
All right. Well, I was teaching a class, a linear algebra class, and we do something called power iteration, which is for finding eigenvectors of matrices.
Of course.
And my demo comes from, I think it was Fabio's show. He had an Alvin Lucier recording, I Am Sitting in a Room.
Oh, famous piece, yeah.
Yeah, well, I had never heard it before. I heard it on the way home from work, all 30 minutes of it.
Wow.
And it is a wonderful example of finding what's called the dominant eigenvector of a matrix.
The dominant what vector?
Eigenvector. Eigenvector.
An eigenvector, okay.
Yeah, it's basically describes resonances of vibrating systems.
Right, right.
Which is what a room is.
Yeah, that's what that whole piece is all about. Yeah.
So anyway, it's a way to make my students think I'm a little bit weirder than they already think I am.
Well, that's a good one. Thank you, Hyperdose Ted.
You're very welcome.
We're asking you what you have learned from WFMU. The phone number here is 201-209-9368. Hi, you're on the air. What have you learned? Hello? Nobody there, Andy. But you're still here, of course, right?
I'm obligated to be, yes.
Yeah. Neil Young is 76 years old, by the way, and he's a little bit younger than Dylan. Mm-hmm. Hi, you're on the air. What have you learned?
I learned that Andy likes the pretzel bowl in the middle of the table.
Andy likes the pretzel bowl in the middle of the table. Hi, you're on the air.
Oh, hi. This is, I hope I'm tuning in late. This is Peter from Tapan.
Oh, hi, Peter.
I hope that I'm not too late with this one.
No, you're not too late.
What are the odds that you're repeating something
that I heard on 7 second delay when I was about 10.
Uh-huh.
And it goes like this. Hi, I listen to WFMU, where the music is so hot, you could be scalded if you don't wear protective clothing.
That's the phrase that pays.
Oh, yeah. Back in the day when people had, before cell phones, when people had landlines, they would actually pick up the phone when we called.
Right.
And we offered people a prize if they said the phrase that pays.
Right. I believe $1 million.
If you called me,
I don't believe it was $1 million. I believe somebody won it because we were calling from our phone sheet.
Right. Oh, well, the first time we played it, we weren't playing for $1 million. But more recently, we're trying to give away $1 million. And admittedly, we don't call that many people trying to hear the phrase that pays.
Hey, speaking of phone calls, I recommend a movie. There's a documentary called Navalny about the Russian dissident.
Oh yeah, Navalny. Yep.
In Navalny, and there's a documentary about him, and there's a 20-minute sequence in the middle of that documentary that is the greatest prank phone call you'll ever see. You could in for the rest of your life. There will never be a greater one.
Tell us about it.
Well, as you know, he was poisoned. They tried to kill him.
Right.
He was in Siberia and he was poisoned. And then he survived and he was recovering in Germany. And while he was in Germany, they identified the three or four guys that traveled to Siberia to kill him.
Uh-huh.
And they got those phone numbers. They got the guys' phone numbers. These are Russian goons, Russian agents.
Yeah.
And Navalny on camera with the camera rolling. It's an amazing sequence. You won't believe it. He calls them. He calls the guys that tried to kill him.
And then how is it a prank? What does he do?
Well, for the first, he calls the first two or three. He identifies himself. And they, of course, hang up on him right away. But then he gets smart. This guy is really great. This guy is tough and inspiring. He's really wonderful and also very funny. And the fourth call he makes is to a chemist, one of the guys that developed the poison that Putin uses to kill dissidents.
Uh-huh.
And he calls the chemist on the guy's cell phone. He gets the chemist at home at night, in the middle of the night. And he's an administrator from some Russian program. And they're just doing a follow-up call to see what went wrong with the murder attempt. And he kept the guy on the phone for 52 minutes.
Wow. What's the name of this documentary?
Called Navalny. It is the most amazing piece of film. It's the greatest prank call. I can never make another prank call because you can't compete with it.
Oh no! Don't say no more prank calls.
He's calling guys that tried to kill him. You can't beat it.
No, that's true. That's pretty good.
Yeah.
So next week our macaroon show, right?
Well, I think Excedrin might be more fun.
Well, why don't we sell both? Or we could give away.
Well, we can't have a table. It has to be in our pockets.
Right. Well, we could give away a macaroon with every tablet that we sell.
But, Ken, we have to look kind of seedy.
Oh, that's not a problem for me.
But, I mean, is there any way to hide the microphones?
Yeah, sure.
Can we just wear lavalier mics or something? Can we just hide the mics?
Yeah. Yep, I have... Stealth mics, don't worry.
Yeah, stealth mics. And we just stand out front.
Yeah.
I just want to say, what do you need? What are you looking for?
That everybody's just going to run away from you.
Well, some of them are very old, and I can outrun them. That'll be the entertainment.
Well, I don't have wireless stealth microphones, so you're not going to be able to run after somebody.
Well, if we're lucky, they'll be running in a circle. If we're lucky, they'll have a peg leg.
All right, let's hope.
It's always hope,
yeah,
my
friend.
Yeah,
let's hope. All right, well, Andy, thanks for calling in tonight.
Oh, sure. It was fun. I learned a lot.
Me too. And thank you to Jeremiah for the newsletter. And we will be back with you next week for the great Passover episode of Dinner at Andy's. This is WFMU East Orange, WMFU Mount Hope in New York City and Rockland County at 91.9 FM and online at WFMU.org. And coming up next, Weekly World Blues with Matt Fibash. Andy, see you next week, Andy. Andy.
Andy.
Andy.
Andy.
Andy, you still there?
Andy, Andy. Andy, Andy. Andy, Andy. Andy. A-N-D-Y. Andy, Andy, Andy. Andy, 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 Andy.
Sound of the blues scale. The blues scale is very simple, very useful, but also very simple to build. All you have to do is know your minor pentatonic scales. So in this case, I was playing A. Thank you.
The blues come so many different ways until it's kind of hard to explain. When you were a young girl, did you have a right dog? The only dog that you ever owned. I'm gonna love you just the way that you love that right dog. But only now, babe, my love has grown. And it gets stronger, I feel it every day. And it gets deeper, darling, let me say. And it gets higher, I feel it, yeah, yeah, yeah. Uh-huh, and darling, I know I love it, honey, my, oh, my. Yeah, river deep, I'm out of the top.
Yeah, 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 yeah. I lost you, baby.